With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello? Hello?
Podcast Network Asia.
What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed.
I said, give me a hell yeah!
Hey, this is Zeta Zane.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
You need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks!
Hey, everyone, this is Jeff Cobb.
I'm Lewis Howley. I'm Sam Spoker. We are Pretty Deadly. Yes, boy. Yes, boy.
Hello, my name is Ilya Dragunov, the star, the NXT UK champion, and you're listening to the Wrestling Podcast.
You're watching and listening to the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Podcast. Stan C. Romoran and Chino Liao coming to you for another live stream on a Thursday. And as Ro mentioned, we are in very uncertain and turbulent times. So the you know what is trending on Twitter. And all I really have to say about it is, if you're going to tweet about it, please don't do it for clout. Kasi totoong bagay siya, you know, like it's really affecting all of us. And if you think it's not affecting you, look at how prices are going to start rising within the next few weeks. Hindi lang gasolina, basically everything. So if someone tells you na, oh, and don't get all in your feelings about politics, tell them that it affects all of us on a direct and personal level and show them gas prices and everything else. I think that's as direct and as simple as we can make it for everybody. Diba?
Basta tandaan nyo pag may dumating na, what do you call those blimps on red alert? You see, they ruined the joke because I didn't know what
it was. Hero of airships.
Pag may dumating na hero of magtago na tayo lahat. Pag dumating yeah, na
Yeah, it's a very dark day, darker than most. But we're going to try to get through it. We're going to try to get through whatever darkness is taking over us by talking about wrestling, because conveniently, wrestling is still here, come hell or high water. So let's talk about wrestling. And you know, before we get to this week's news, let's start off by telling you about how you can support the podcast, because we still have some fun stuff prepared for you over on the Wrestling Podcast Patreon community.
Yeah. So, walang premium live event happening for the whole of March. So, the next premium live event is, of course, WrestleMania happening at the very first weekend of April. So, if you want to get on that, because we are likely going to have a viewing party, whether in person or in Discord, we will do that. We'll figure out the details, but you can get on it by subscribing to our Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingpodcast.
Oh, alert level 1 na pala. Pwede
yeah,
na.
We'll figure that out. For as low as ₱50 a month, you get access to our Discord community, where we do the watch parties, our exclusive review content, which we use to tell you all about our thoughts about the latest shows before we do a live stream. We also get merch, either a pasabay from the shops online or our own line of merch, which is happening soon enough, I believe, as far as we know. So again, patreon.com/wrestlingpodcast for as low as ₱250 a month.
Yeah, speaking of Mansoor, another person who's not here and who won't get to chime in this week is Rowan, the SHIT. So he's actually doing schoolwork for those of you on the audio-only version who weren't part of the pre-show. So just hashtag pray for Rowan or send him some GVs on social media at Monday Night Rowan, N-I-T-E on Twitter, N-I-G-H-T on Instagram. He's actually trying to be a real-life dentist like the good doctor Britt Baker. All right. No, Roman J, wala akong inside scoop on Mansoor's whereabouts. I also don't know why he was at Elimination Chamber. All right, let's get to this week's news, and let's lead off with The Undertaker. Congratulations to the dead man. So this was announced right after yung live stream natin last week. He's going to be headlining the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2022. I think we can all agree that this is well deserved and that this has been a long time coming.
Yun, well, syempre, it's been a long time coming, as you said, because he's been wrestling for a long, long time. So he's debuted 30 years ago. So that's a trip, right? And this is final, I believe. This makes it final. Retired. So there's probably no chance of him coming back to wrestle anymore. His body's beat up. His time in the ring is long past. And a Hall of Fame induction kind of finalizes that. So well-deserved. And I'm sure a lot of you guys will enjoy this or were overjoyed to hear this news.
Nobody is more fit to headline a Hall of Fame ceremony than the dead man himself. Right? He's had such a storied career, almost 3 decades or more than 3 decades in the WWE. That's longer than anybody I can think of, especially if it's just one guy in one company. Right? So he deserves this so much, and I can't wait to see all the stories and the memories that will be shared on that night.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this offline before we started, and yun nga, si Undertaker is really symbolic of so many things. Glendale in the comments says that he's the reason that Glendale got into wrestling, and I'm sure that you're not the only one. The Undertaker has really inspired so many people. Even in the local scene, you look at someone like Vintendo, friend of the podcast, who's a huge Undertaker fan. Like, he has some moves that he basically got from you know, his love of The Undertaker. And I'm sure, you know, some of you, when you were creating your creator wrestlers on SmackDown versus Raw or WWE 2K, you probably used some elements of The Undertaker's entire character or his moveset, but just because of your love for the dead man. So we're going to reminisce about that later on. We've got some time for TBT. So handa niyo na, bangko niyo na yung mga favorite Undertaker moments ninyo, or if you were lucky enough to have caught him in person, or for some reason you had a chance encounter with him, go ahead and share that later on. Pag-usapan natin yan for TBT. I have a question, though.
Oh, yes, go answer. Ask your question.
See, my question is, when are we going to get Batista in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. That depends on whether Vince wants it. But I'm sure it's coming. Like, when they run out of the older headliners. Like, meron pa yung ano eh, like, I'm sure The Rock will get in first or whatever. But I'm sure it's going to happen.
I think the better answer would have been as soon as he guests on the Wrestling podcast. That would have been, come on, Dave. What are you waiting for, Dave? Let's go.
Sabi nga kasi ni Emil, which I was going to point out as well, dapat 2020 siya i-induct, eh, diba, COVID happened. And I think Batista and the WWE wanted his induction to be in front of people. So that's why it didn't happen.
Yeah, so I'm sure it's going to happen next year because of Hollywood. So either The Rock or Batista. Also, I have a question for everyone here. Do you think that Undertaker deserves to be inducted all on his own in this particular Hall of Fame batch? Because some people, some wrestlers, some personalities have been calling for it because Undertaker is so huge, right? So he kind of deserves to have his own batch unto himself. So do you think it's a good idea?
I think if nothing else, it is fitting for him to be inducted during this particular Mania because it's in Texas and he's a proud Texas boy. So fitting siya, diba, that he gets inducted in his own state. Very few people get to do that. Whether he deserves to be inducted on his own, I still can't say. Kasi di naman porket deserving siya, siya lang yung deserving. Diba? It's not like mutually exclusive to The Undertaker. And I get that they want to make it special, but they already gave him so much in the 30-some-odd years that he's been with the WWE. So maybe he could afford to share the limelight a bit with whoever gets inducted to, this year.
Ako, I wouldn't mind if it happens because we saw it with Andre the Giant right after he died in the early 90s. He was the very first inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame, and I guess it speaks to yung contributions to Andre. And with The Undertaker, alam din natin, but like, we don't need to rattle off all of his accomplishments and contributions to the business as a whole. And if WWE decides na for 2022 in Texas, si Undertaker lang yung sole Hall of Fame inductee, I'm not gonna argue and moan and whine about it because I think it's justified.
Yeah, a lot of people are agreeing that Undertaker should have his own batch. in the Hall of Fame. So interesting. I know. I actually wouldn't mind as well. Like, I don't really put too much stock kasi in the Hall of Fame as an entity within wrestling. So they can do whatever they want with it, and I wouldn't mind because it's their Hall of Fame, right? So if that's what they wanted to do with Taker, then go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, whether The Undertaker goes in on his own or with an entire class for 2022, I think it'll still be more entertaining than the slam dunk contest. So, yeah, there's that. All right, any other thoughts about The Undertaker before we get to our next one?
If we do, pwede natin pag-usapan later on in the TBT.
Sige. Let's move on to the next piece of news from outside the ring. Dax Harwood opened up on the most recent episode of The Sessions with Renee Paquette, and he talked about his struggles with anxiety, with an eating disorder. So trigger warning right there if you're going to check it out. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for Dax Harwood and athletes in general, lalo na yung mga male athletes who open up about their struggles with mental health. You know, I'm trying to deal with yung issues in their lives. Like Dax also talked about yung miscarriage nila ng asawa niya. So, you know, people like Dax Harwood, like DeMar DeRozan, like Kevin Love, Eddie Kingston, these athletes, high-profile athletes who try to really open up the conversation about mental health, they're really doing a very good thing for the rest of us because it normalizes and destigmatizes talaga yung mental health.
Yeah, I was listening to the episode actually before we went on, and it was a really, really good interview. I said Dax showed shared a lot of things about himself, about anxiety, which I dealt with as well. So I kind of identified with that too. And then the big headline coming from this interview is a story that he shares about Shawn Michaels, because they did a segment with him with the Revival on and the original DX. On Raw 25 some years ago. And then before that, Dax told Sean about his depression and stuff like that, the stuff that he was going through at the time, which at first Sean identified with and empathized with. And then after pretty much reassuring him that they're good or he's good, he kind of turns his back on that and clowns him when he's with his DX friends. So that's been making the rounds on the internet wrestling community the past few days. And some people have been using that to pretty much confirm their own biases towards Sean, or sometimes their own biases towards Dax and FDR. So it's been a mess. It's been a huge mess. And all I have to say is, even though there are two sides to a story, that is... No, I don't think there's a reason for Dax to lie about that, to make up a story like that, because he's been bearing his heart out for the entire interview. And I think it's pretty messed up that Sean did that, even though you might say that, oh, he was just clowning around with his friends. He was trying to look cool in front of his friends. That's just messed up. And having gone through that similar situation in a lot of times in my life, I would have to say that is such a red flag moment for Sean. And I don't know if it's true that he hasn't changed since his earlier days, since his younger days back in the 90s, but that doesn't really bode well for his character right now.
HBK is notorious for his backstage attitude. He even spoke of it during the A&E documentary, about the A&E biography documentary. Talked about how he was a troubled person in his youth, especially during the early days of his career. So all of us, myself included, thought na nagbago na siya because he found Jesus, diba? And that was a big part of the shift in his character. But according to what's happening here, I don't know if that's exactly true. Kasi he just falls under the large umbrella of people who use religion as an excuse to act like assholes. I know that there are a lot of people here might be triggered with what I say, pero sa totoo lang, ang daming hipokrito sa mundo. And if this is actually true, then kasama na siya doon. And just SMH, you know?
Yeah, at the very end of the interview with Renee, Dax says na he is willing to have a conversation with Shawn Michaels, like if they were ever to cross paths again and to clear the air. And yung nga, sabi nga ni Ro, diba, there's always two sides to a story. So if ever they do get to have a chance to reconcile and to have a conversation about what really went down or why things went down the way that they did, I hope that it turns out better for all parties involved.
But before you end, though, I do want to call out people who were defending Sean and bashing Dax for that, because, you know, the FTR has a history of being outspoken about where they stand, how they are treated in companies. So some people have been using that against them. And I want to say that just because they're not happy doesn't mean that their feelings aren't invalid about where they are. So you can't really use this to invalidate Dax's feelings because you like Sean or whatever. So that's kind of messed up. And I hope that you, if you do that, please stop doing it. Because
I think also at the same time, when Dax kept reiterating that he was a Brett guy, unfair din yun sa kanya, na gamitin against him yun. Kasi I don't think it had any role to play in the whole bullying aspect of it all. I think it's just really more on Shawn Michaels kung totoo ang nangyari, diba? I don't think it's fair to say na parang porket Bret Hart guy ka, galit na ako sa'yo, diba? I don't know, hindi naman siya self-market, diba? Hindi naman to issue about being a fan of one another. I think it's just a lot of backstage antics going on.
Yeah, I just wanted people to stop clowning Dax, because that guy's been through a lot. If you heard the interview, that like it's a literal lot that he's been through. So yeah. It's messed up that you would take this time to talk shit about him because he dissed your favorite wrestler of all time. Like these things happen to him.
Yeah. There's actually an update to this story because right after the interview went up, former WWE writer Dave Schilling, who used to be one of David Shoemaker's co-hosts on The Masked Man Show, said na si Dax and si Cash, when they were at WWE, they made his life hell, particularly daw right after WrestleMania 35. So Dave Schilling tweeted, and I quote, referring to FTR, ducked me all night when they could have helped me make the promo better. We barely got the pre-tape on the air that night. Writers are, without a doubt, second-class citizens in wrestling, but nobody deserves to be in a hostile or uncooperative work environment, regardless of what they do on the show. So for context, sabi ni Dave Schilling na on the Raw right after WrestleMania 35, he was in charge of a promo for the Revival, and yun, iniwasan nila si Dave Schilling the entire night, and kinontextualized ni Schilling by saying that it is being in a pressure cooker, like working in the WWE, so gets niya kung bakit may ibang tao na nag-act out or could act, you know, in a hostile manner. Pero sana you could make it easier na lang for everybody that you work with, which I thought was actually a fair take.
As somebody who has experience working in high-pressure live shows, I can understand how writers, kasi I was a writer for a live show once upon a time, I can understand where they're coming from. Lalo na yung WWE kasi high stress situation yan eh. Everything's changing on the fly. You have to be on your feet nonstop. I was literally running after people when I was working at that particular show, di ba? So parang gets ko kung saan nanggaling si Dave Schilling, and gets ko din na may ganun talagang mga tao that you work with, because they're the stars. They're the people that you watch. People don't really watch wrestling for the writers. They watch wrestling for the stars that come out. So I understand where he's coming from, but then at the same time, it's not the healthiest environment to be in. Like high stress situations, you're going live, everything changes on the fly. It's just not healthy.
I do want to note then that I think Dax does a good job of acknowledging that he wasn't the best person in his past. So if stuff like that comes to light, and I'm not saying that it was right or not saying it was justified, but he really seems to have been in a dark place. So talagang it's a mess all around, and I feel like it's a systemic issue than particular fault of any one person involved.
Yeah, I think zooming out, it's common din to see, diba, na when somebody famous, for example, calls out another famous person, they speak out about something na nangyari, you know, one party hurt the other party. Somebody on the internet will say something, parang nagkakaungkatan ng resibo, for lack of a better term, you know, whether it's justified or not. And I think the takeaway here is that tao tayong lahat, we're all human, walang perpekto sa atin, diba? So, you know, I think what we have to remember, what we have to do if we're in that situation, let's say Dax Harwood situation, where you opened your soul, you opened your heart out in public like that, and then another person who you interacted with brought up, you know, shitty things that you did in the past, is you just apologize and take accountability for it. Like, if you really mean what you say, now, you know, I've grown and I've moved from the experience. I think that's really just the way to go, diba?
Agree. Yeah, that's the best way to put it, really.
Mm-hmm. So there, that takes care of a bit of yung news natin from outside the ring. We're going to take our first break of the show. When we come back, we'll talk about the Elimination Chamber and the fallout from that. Talk about a little NXT, and a little bit later, we'll talk about that MJF promo. But first, here's what you need to know about helping the podcast, supporting the show through your online shopping over on Lazada.
Right, guys. So 3-3 is coming up soon. So they're starting the sale train early when it comes to sale holidays. So if you want to support the podcast while doing your online shopping on Lazada, all you got to do is use our affiliate link, podlink.co/IAM. podlink.co/IAM. Type that in your mobile browser, add to cart, and check out from the app. And what you buy will help us do what we do here in the podcast with no extra cost to you.
And now a quick word from our other podcasts on Podcast Network Asia.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Let's get to some shout-outs over on Kumu.
All right, saying hey to Gideon Perez, who just followed us. Hey, my name is Salamat. Scumageddon is here. He is listening to us while eating Pepsi. Hey, sana masarap ang ulam mo tonight. Thank you to everyone who has joined in. User 13756295, thank you for following, dude. JM Liasos, thank you for following. Jim, yeah. Thank you for following. This guy who said Kalbo, well, that's exactly what I am and what Stan could be. So thank you for being observant. And thank you all for just being here and listening and watching us talk about wrestling. Please smash those hearts and keep letting the people on Kumu know that you are enjoying this wrestling talk on the platform.
Yeah, you know, there are people who will take time out of their day to either cuss us out in the comment section or point out Kalbo. Like, I don't know what possesses you to take some time and energy out of your fucking day to fucking comment this in the comment section of fucking Kumu and Facebook. Like, if you have all that time and energy on your hand, go watch Peacemaker, man. Or go watch something else that will make you enjoy.
No.
I don't know why.
No, I don't know. I'm not triggered or anything, but I don't know where this is coming from. But
why is it triggered by Kalbo? He really is bald. So I don't know.
I'm not being triggered by Kalbo. I'm saying if you have that time to dish out that negative energy on social media, take that shit and bundle it out somewhere else. That's what I'm
cutting,
saying.
Cutting a whole ass promo here.
You sound so agitated.
No, but I will say, na buti wala ka sa TikTok, hindi ka nakatutok sa TikTok like I do, because it's much, much worse over there. Like, a lot of people will call out your physical flaws for whatever reason, just because they could and just because it's anonymous and nobody holds you accountable for shit you say on there. So it's a good thing that you're not on that. But it's much worse there. This is barely scratching the surface of what I have experienced on that on that note app.
Yung sinasabi ko lang is, if you have all that time and energy, go use it on something more productive. Just, you know, stop being a dick.
You can't ask people to not be dicks, because there are always going to be dicks, right? Either you deal with it or you just don't mind it.
I'm dealing with it by calling out the endeavor. Let's move on.
Okay, let's talk about. We have stuff to talk about.
Let's talk about the chamber. Okay, first question. Do you like the idea of winner take all now that we know that Brock Lesnar is WWE champion again?
Okay. So our worst predictions or our worst fears have come true, but it's still not the
game. Zero win.
Predictions. He did call it, yes. But the worst, worst part hasn't happened though. It's not a title unification match, like I said on TikTok. It's most likely going to be a double championship match in which the winner gets both the championships and then they defend it both either on both shows, on Raw and SmackDown, for each title that they have. So it's like Becky back in 2019, the bug. So yeah. Okay, fine. That's where you're headed because you can't make Brock lose. But that doesn't mean I should like it. It just means that it's kind of lazy to me that you have forced this upon us yet again. But I will say that a lot of people did kind of want it, so it's not completely wrong either. It's not like people did not ask for it.
I mean, yeah,
looking at the comments right now, iba-ibang reaction sila. Ikaw, Chino, you like it or you don't?
Sorry, I mean, it's not totally unwarranted, but at the same time, babalik na ulit tayo dun sa time na hindi na naman natin makikita yung mga champions for months on end. Diba? Because now that you only have one champion at the end of all of this, I can't imagine how that one person is going to split his time between two different cities on a weekly basis, diba? But the double yung schedule yun eh. So parang, it's not only harder on that particular winner, whoever it might be, Brock or Roman, diba? But it'll also be harder on both brands kasi isang tao lang yung nag-represent for them both. And it's kind of impossible for me to imagine one person just shuffling back and forth between those two brands. It's so unnecessary at this point. Right? Instead of focusing on one person, they could have used this opportunity to build up other people who represent those brands equally.
I'm actually sharing Chino's sentiments here regarding the logistics of it all after WrestleMania. Like, oo nga, diba? So, let's say Brock or Roman, whichever of them wins, will have both championships. Paano yun? Who's going to take one of the championships away from the eventual winner? How is that going to happen? Kasi when you have, let's say Roman wins both championships, diba? Like, whoever beats Roman, that's going to be a huge, huge moment. Right?
Yeah.
Like, sabihin natin, it's just for one of the championships. That's going to be huge. So, I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know how they're going to do it, like on which show they're going to do it at, right? Kung taga Raw man yun or taga SmackDown man yun. I mean, it's kind of exciting if, let's say, si Roman or even si Brock. Sige, sabi natin si Brock yun. Whoever gets that win will get a hell of a rub. I just don't know how they're going to pull it off.
Yeah, it is what it is. And that's what I've been telling people. It's really hard to do a double champion now, I don't know, when you have a split brand. But eto, this is what you wanted, so this is what you're getting. And people have been clamoring for it. They have been called, they have been manifesting it, and now nangyari siya. And I don't know if we can blame these people for manifesting it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answers to your questions. And it feels like a major corner that they have stayed backed into. And bahala na sila kung paano nila gagawin yun.
See, Gab in the comments, Gab Mendoza is asking, what if the winner defends the other championship on night two of WrestleMania? I'm not sure if that'll happen, Gab, because I think this is the type of match that you'd put at the very end of a two-night spectacle.
This is a night two main event for sure.
It's a problem because you want this to be the special main event match. So what's going to headline the first night? Right?
Oh, the women's championship, Charlotte and Ronda probably, or Becky and Bianca.
Yeah. Most likely Charlotte versus Ronda. That's been the rumors for the night one main event. So, sure and again, because it's Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, main eventer din naman sina Charlotte and Ronda. So I'll get that, you know.
Yeah.
Let's address this. Leo points out that there were reports, and one of the sources I found was si Kazim Famuyide from the Ringer Wrestling Podcast or the Masked Man Show. He used to be a WWE writer, and according to his sources, si Bobby Lashley was injured raw. Kaya yung nangyari sa Elimination Chamber happened the way it did. The report was that he has a shoulder injury. He was reported to be miss 4 months, but now Bobby Lashley is advertised to challenge Brock Lesnar at Madison Square Garden on the first weekend of March. So, hindi ko alam anong nagbago between Elimination Chamber and yung announcement that it's going to be Brock versus Lashley again at MSG. So, very unclear, no idea. I just hope Bobby Lashley is okay.
Yeah, it's pretty weird too. I don't know why they're scheduling a title match. I could believe that that's a red herring. Hindi pala siya mangyayari. On, I don't know, maybe it's going to be bait and switch to something else. But hey, it's a thing that they are trying to do. Pero to me, it feels all weird that they just really ran with Brock being champion. Like, this didn't need to happen. Like, their original plans had to change, but this didn't need to happen at all. Like, we still could have had Big E or someone else as champion by now.
Yeah, I don't think face Brock ever really needed a title. He was over enough as it is, right? And it seems like nagbubuhayan natin siyang kawawa as a chaser. Because
to Brock?
Because Paul Heyman left him, right? And he seems to be like yung jilted ex. Na parang, ay, di ko kayo kailangan, Paul Heyman, kaya ko mag-isa. That's at least what it comes off to me. So, in that sense, yes, I'm already backing Brock at this end. So, parang hindi ko na gets kung bakit kailangan pa siya maging title versus title. It seems like such an unnecessary plot twist.
Question for you guys. If the idea or the goal was to create the biggest match possible, could we have done it even if it wasn't champion versus champion?
The big match? Yeah. Sure. What did it matter? I mean, like, big names, right? So those are literally the biggest names on your roster among the men.
Yeah, the star power alone should have been enough. Right? And if they just build on the history of Roman and Brock and the many times that they faced each other in the past, then it would have gone somewhere that was still enough for people to have something to bite onto, right? To something to latch onto.
Answering Ricky's question in the comments, they explained why Paul Heyman switched side. Yes, they did. They pretty much said, or Paul said, that he realized that he loves the tribal chief and he believes in the tribal chief. So that's pretty much it. I don't think he needed... he stopped reviewing SmackDown and lost the entire plot. But I don't think they needed a fancy reason other than if you love him, you love him. Then that's it. That's what it is. But no other reasons needed.
Yeah. Tao rin naman si Paul Heyman. So yun. In that sense, relatable siya. Last comment for this one from Nidge Garcia. Sabi niya, masyado ng buhat ng tribal chief yung WWE kung mananalo pa siya. Do you guys think it'll be overkill if Roman won?
Well, they've backed themselves into the corner na kung kahit sino manalo, it's overkill. Yeah, so at this point, doesn't matter. Although I will defer to Roman because Roman's the newer star. And we all know they have a problem with building newer stars and that they keep defaulting to older stars. So kung ganun din lang, I would just throw my lot in with this generation star.
Yeah, ako din. Best case scenario, I want Roman to win. Just so they could double down on him a little bit more.
All right.
Diba? Kasi pag Brock winning both titles, parang ganyan naman tayo, Brock Lesnar ulit, diba? So I'd rather see them continue on with Roman Reigns' run.
See, Tristan Riddle bro here in the comments, Akumu, is saying that he hates Brock Lesnar. Like, why, man? Brock Lesnar's such a fun guy. He's gonna let your kid touch his title belt, man.
Well, like, I actually like this version of Brock. He's like a nice guy, di ba?
Oh, wow.
Sabi ni Glendale sa comments, marupok si Heyman. Yes, 100%.
I feel like this Brock smokes a lot of weed. So I am all for this Brock.
Okay tong Brock Lesnar na to.
Yeah, he's out partying with the Jackass crew, di ba? Before whatever interview that was. So good for him.
Yeah, Rumble. Yeah. Looking at the entire Elimination Chamber card, which was the better chamber match for you guys?
Okay, so this is an easy answer. So it's pretty much the women's chamber. They worked harder for sure, and their match actually had like a compelling climax. Yung men's kasi, like, once it's like the Royal Rumble, right? Once Brock enters last, you know what's gonna happen. He's the freshest guy in the match, and he's gonna be out destroying people. That's really not dramatic at all, even though, yes, some people like to see Brock dominate the match. They also want drama. Like, we also want drama. And Brock is just not dramatic. The same way that your favorite team winning via tambak is not dramatic at all.
Yeah, remember when the Warriors went on that monster run? Yun, hindi na siya maganda after a while. So, I would say the women's match as well, just because Bianca's victory was earned. And yes, there's more of an arc to it. So I'd say the women's match.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the women's match because even though we're getting Becky Bianca again, like remember when we got it, what, like 3 or 4 times in the span of a month or a couple of months? Now it seems a little bit refreshed because Bianca actually went on a journey. Diba? She led yung Survivor Series team niya to victory, and then she had to deal with Doudrop, and then she had to deal with the Chamber, and now she gets to go back to Becky with this renewed energy, and I think it really fuels her babyface run.
Yeah, and it's a full circle thing too. So she won at WrestleMania, she lost it to Becky, and then she had to get the runaround. And now she comes back to WrestleMania with another shot to prove herself. So I don't know kung sinadya nila yun with long-term planning, but it's really nice. It's a really nice moment to come back to. And it's a really nice opponent to come back to. So I guess Liv not winning earlier this year all worked out.
Yeah, I guess. Shout out to Liv Morgan for that beautiful Oops, I Did It Again tribute costume. So that was pretty good. Right, let's go over to Raw, and I guess we know the second celebrity who's going to be appearing at WrestleMania 38, and that is Logan Paul. So The Miz was teasing his partner, nga, diba? And he was saying that he was dashing and all of that, so it really spawned the Cody Rhodes memes for some people at the venue, probably Cody Rhodes chants, pero nga, it was Logan Paul all along. What do you guys think about this?
I did a live, right? After the show, after Elimination Chamber last Sunday, people were asking sino yung magiging partner ni Miz. So it's either Cody or Logan Paul. So it all worked out na si Logan Paul. I could have lived with Miz, I guess, but somehow I knew they were going for the Logan Paul route, and I'm whelmed. I'm not underwhelmed, not overwhelmed, just whelmed. And for people who are into Logan Paul, this might be a big deal. But we are in the Philippines and Logan Paul is a non-entity here. So it's just there. It's just a thing that they're doing for WrestleMania. I say celebrity siya.
I'm just over the Pauls in general. Just like I am just vehemently against anything that gives them a platform to stand on. Just enough already, you guys. Come on. Just enough.
Yeah, I mean, we know that the Pauls are heat magnet both in kayfabe and in real life. So there's that. I was surprised that The Miz and Logan Paul had an interaction nga pala on Raw back in August, along with John Morrison on Moist TV. So they have that bit of history. Pero magkalaban sila nun. So I hope they address that in the build-up to WrestleMania. There's 5 weeks pa naman before WrestleMania 38. But yeah, Logan Paul and The Miz are taking on the Mysterios. That is a thing that is happening. All right, next, let's talk about Edge. So he issued an open challenge. And very important yung choice of words niya rito, because he said that he wants the open challenge to come from someone who wants to be phenomenal, someone who wants to live forever, someone who can contain their own demons or something along those lines, and someone who wants to be undeniable. So in that order, AJ Styles, Damian Priest, Finn Balor, and Cody Rhodes all kind of sort of fit the bill. So the question, gentlemen, is who do you think it's going to be?
Hindi ko alam. I think they left it open-ended in a good way. So he mentioned all these names, right? So it could be anyone. So I don't mind any of these names. Pero siyempre, AJ Styles is the big money match for him right now. Could be Cody as well. So that I wouldn't be opposed to that, because at least Cody would be working with an actual creative team who can say no to him and what he wants, right? So the money is on AJ Styles.
Igao Chino.
Edge versus Wendy Chu. Let's go. I want to see that. Big booty
Wendy.
Yeah. See, undeniable Wendy Chu. No. I want to say AJ, just because it's a good clash of not only styles, pun intended, but also of brands and generations. Diba? Yung kasikatan ni Edge sa WWE, kasikatan din ni AJ Styles sa TNA. So it'd be nice to see, even if they're a little more mature in this year. I'd still really like to see it. So I'd say AJ Styles.
Yeah, I mean, Edge is 48 at this point. AJ is, I think, 44 or 45 or maybe 46. He just signed a new contract, by the way, which is reported to be worth $3 million a year. So good for you, AJ. Go get that bag, sir. And even though they're in their mid-40s, I would love to see Edge versus AJ Styles. Yung listeners natin in the comment section, they're also rooting majority for AJ Styles versus Edge to happen. What about this, though? Aaron suggests, what if it's a US title feud?
I don't know. Parang hindi naman kasi Edge just wants the spectacle of WrestleMania. Like, he didn't say that he wanted a championship, whether it's the World Championship or the US Championship. So he just wanted the match kasi being on WrestleMania itself is the reward or is the championship for him at this point in his career. So I don't think that needs to happen.
I actually wouldn't mind if it was for the title, you know, just because it becomes unlikely for Edge to win. But then at the same time, because he's such a charismatic wrestler and performer, making him chase after a title is still worth watching. So I wouldn't mind if they throw the title in there.
I mean, you saw that last year, diba? Edge was going after the Universal Championship, and we all marked out for that stuff. But I think you bring up a good point, Chino, when you say na it kind of spoils the result kapag mid-card championship match pala yon. Kasi, you know, we know what Edge's schedule is, right? So I'm with you there. I actually wouldn't mind if it was just, let's say, Edge versus AJ. Na yun lang, straight up, no titles, just a grudge match. Let it be that way, diba? Let's go over to NXT and let's talk about the NXT Championship because we found out this week that Bron Breakker will be going to NXT Stand and Deliver to defend the NXT Championship that's happening WrestleMania weekend. Ang tanong, are they going to go with Dolph Ziggler or with Tommaso Ciampa for part three of their series at Stand and Deliver?
I like the idea of Bron Breakker versus Dolph Ziggler here because they have a hit here. I don't know if they know it, but it's a bigger hit than Grayson Waller versus AJ Styles. So
why don't you hit for you?
I don't know. It's fresh for both people involved. So it gives the mid-card act of the Dirty Dog something to do. It kind of makes the NXT Championship a big deal. And it kind of makes NXT a big deal because yung pala pwede na silang mag cross-pollinate and all of that. And I kind of want them to delay Breakker versus Ciampa 3 because there is money to be made in, you know, making him wait. And I also like the idea of the soft call-up that Ciampa has right now on Raw. So I want them to take their time. They don't have to rush it because they could always come back to it later.
Yeah, Tommaso yes. looked really great on Raw.
Same though. I agree with Ro here. Inversion of WWE Forbidden Door. Pero kami ng kwarta lang. hindi kami ng backwood or whatever. Kami ng kwarta lang. Yun din lang. But I like Dolph Ziggler going to NXT because, first of all, he's never been to NXT. He's an FCW guy. Baka hindi pa nga. Diba? And he also has a pedigree as a champion.
No, OVW siya.
OVW pa, diba? So, and he also has a pedigree as a champion. He's a multiple-time champion, in fact. And then you have the added element of Robert Roode there, who is a former NXT champion himself. So, parang these two guys who have just been meandering in the lower mid-card of the main roster now actually have a chance to prove themselves as actual threats to the puppy-faced gremlin and Bron Breakker, diba?
Sobrang mga gremlin.
Diba? That's the name of the dad. That's the name of the dad. Know your history. And see, Bron Breakker, if he does beat Dolph Ziggler, diba? If he does beat somebody as tenured as Dolph Ziggler, it gives him more miles on his career, diba? It gives him more of a track record to bring forward against Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, I agree. I think na having Dolph Ziggler as a notch on Bron Breakker's belt would be really good. And if they go in a different direction and decide, na, hey, let's put the NXT Championship on Dolph Ziggler, I actually wouldn't mind either, just because Dolph could be a very compelling bad guy champion on NXT 2.0. That's just me, though.
No, I agree. It's a bigger match for sure. And I do want them to have the biggest match that they could for Stand and Deliver, because it's a special event on WrestleMania Day 1. So you got to get people to watch. And let them, it's not like Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode are going to do anything special on the show. Diba? So might as well give them that spot.
Yeah, parang wala ring story in Dirty Dogs on Raw ngayon eh. So, di ba? I would put money on Ciampa and Breaker for Stand and Deliver. Yep. Sabi ni Roman J. Cesaro to NXT 2.0. Why not?
You know what? I was thinking about that. I actually want Cesaro to be the Ric Flair, for lack of a better word, for lack of a better role, of Imperium's Evolution. So I think he would fit right in with those guys because they all speak the same language. Okay. And he fits in with their hard-hitting style, and he fits in like an advisor to them. So if I were Cesaro, I would pitch that because that I'm gonna go SmackDown. So might as well give me to the Germans and the Italians of NXT.
Ang maganda dito with the Dirty Dogs appearing on NXT is that it gives other main event roster people the opportunity to appear. Diba? Like, you guys, nabi niya Cesaro, who isn't really doing anything. Baka si Nakamura can make a comeback on the NXT roster. Diba? The possibilities are limitless at this point.
I remember when it was a big deal that Cesaro was on NXT because he was fighting with Sami Zayn. Main roster na si Cesaro nun, diba? So that was in 2013. That's what actually got me to tune into NXT. So if this were to happen again about a decade later, I wouldn't mind. Yeah, sure. Make him be the veteran of Imperium. Why not? Let's go. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about MJF, answer the question of kung babyface na siya or hindi. We'll talk about that in a bit. But first, we'll let you know how you can support the podcast through your online shopping over on Shopee.
Right, guys. So again, sales are coming up. So if you want to get anything from Shopee and support the podcast in the process, all you got to do is use our affiliate link. It is podlink.co/W9X, podlink.co/W9, and the letter X. Type that in your mobile browser, add to cart, and check out from the mobile app. And what you buy will help us do what we do here in the podcast. It's North Across to you.
And now another word from our other podcasts on Podcast Network Asia.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get to some shout-outs over on Kumu.
Saying hey to Admin Angelo, who is also simul watching on Kumu. Thanks, man, for sending halo halo and the comment sa Kumu. He asks, "Posible kaya na makol ni Carlo yung Mania from Dallas?" Well, what do you say to that?
Spoiler alert: No, that's not happening. Not now, yeah, at least.
Not now. Sorry.
Maybe next year, diba?
Hopefully next year. Sana. Manifest natin. Nasa si Rowan pag kailangan natin siya.
If the world is still intact by next year, then i-manifest natin yan.
Thanks.
Tristan Riddle, bro, is still going on his anti-Brock Lesnar tirade. He says that he has WWE figures and he will burn his Brock Lesnar figure. For what I say, I don't know.
Less fortunate. Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Don't do that to a figure. Come on.
Yeah, meron give batang it to someone who likes it. Oh. Batang I mean, may pangalang China Liao.
Yeah.
Yun, saying hey to everyone again who tuned in, who's tuning in, who joined us on Kumu for our wrestling talk. Thank you for joining us and letting everyone know that you like the wrestling talk here on Kumu. Just keep smashing those hearts and let people know.
All right, let's talk about that MJF promo. So he basically bared his heart and soul out on Dynamite. He even genuinely cried and he explained his villain origin story. He explained to all of us why he is the way he is and why he detests CM Punk with a passion. And people online have been saying that it's the best MJF promo. It's a promo of the year candidate already. And people are also saying, did MJF just turn face here? So I think that's the first question we need to address. Did MJF just turn face here?
Okay, so if you guys follow the page, our Facebook page, you would have seen that I posted a TikTok addressing this exactly. So for the benefit of those who did not see that or are not on TikTok, I will say that he just explained why he is the way he is, and explaining an origin story doesn't necessarily make you a good guy. It just, you know, gives people a way to sympathize with you, to empathize with you, but it's not like it's not telling them I'm good now or I'm not bad. It's just this is what I am and this is why I am. And he pretty much admits to being selfish. MJF pretty much admits to being selfish because he has his own motivations for wanting Punk to stay in wrestling and not quit, even though we all know why Punk took the break that he did. But it's to avoid his own burnout. So you can't fault Punk for doing that. So if you're someone who holds that against CM Punk, then that kind of says a lot about you.
Ginawa ni MJF is very typical of villains in movies. Diba? It's a trope where they explain why they become the villain, why they have this master plan to
para sa Scooby-Doo,
the world. Diba? Diba? Lagi naman ginagawa yan eh, diba? Regardless of what you watch, diba? Scooby-Doo or even a superhero movie. Diba? Thanos did the same thing in Endgame. So parang hindi siya, yung desired effect niya wasn't that he was turning it was just that he was trying to justify his actions, because, and this is a quote that I love from a teacher in film school, villains in their own mind don't see themselves as villains. And in this promo, feeling gonna prove the MJF.
Yeah. If anything, see, MJF is actually closer to Syndrome from The Incredibles than anything. The Public Enemies podcast posted this on Twitter. Na, diba, if you watch The Incredibles, yung character ni Syndrome, he was a kid, si Buddy something, and he really wanted so hard to be the sidekick of Mr. Incredible. And Mr. Incredible was like, no kid, I don't want you to be my sidekick. So he gets all angry and resentful and develops a passion against superheroes, goes out on a killing spree as an adult and kills the superheroes and becomes the formidable foe against the Incredibles. MJF is Syndrome.
Yeah.
So see the Frozone.
Cinema drop any punk, yeah.
See Sting. See Darby. See, Ricky makes a good point here about MJF. It would have cut deeper if he didn't shout every sentence. That's true. That's my biggest pet peeve with MJF, is that he doesn't know how to modulate. And he, even when he's being sad, he's still shouting every sentence, as though we can't hear him. So, dude, please take a broadcast class or something.
Yeah, he needs acting lessons at the very
least. Yeah, man. I don't know. I know he's kind of doing that on purpose to be annoying. But when you need to call on a certain kind of emotion, especially when you're bearing your heart out, you kind of need to go quiet and stuff like that.
Yeah, Edge is really good at that. Like, I think he's a wrestler that, you know, someone like MJF or any aspiring wrestler or manager can look at in terms of varying in deliveries. Even yung recent promo ni Edge, diba, on Raw, he knew when to really get intense and in your face, and he knew how to pull back and just get all silent and just let that be the understated part of the promo.
Yeah, nakuha din ni Edge yan from all his acting that he did when he was in the in-ring competitors. Maybe, you know, there might be a benefit to MJF taking a few acting classes.
Yeah. People online have been praising the fact that MJF brought yung real experiences niya with bullying and the bigotry into this promo. And, you know, I will commend that because it does take a lot of courage to actually bring that up yourself and to incorporate that into a publicly viewed, publicly available storyline, but for all the world to see. So that really takes a lot of guts. And it was a good follow-up to last week's segment where CM Punk brought out that picture from that Friday when Punk and MJF met.
Yeah. See, Eli says the MJF promo kind of made the storyline the top storyline. Yeah, I agree. Up until this point, before this point, I mean, I was ready to move on from MJF and Punk, because I was way more invested in MJF versus Wardlow. And then they brought me back. All it took was MJF telling his life story to bring me back.
Yeah, and not MJF kissing his girlfriend on TV.
Jesus Christ.
All right, anything else on MJF, or do you want to talk about today's debut?
Yeah, I think we've said everything we needed to say. We touched on everything we needed to touch on. And at this point, I don't know what else they can do to top that. Because it's sakto yung planning nila, yung scheduling nila for the weeks leading up to Revolution.
Yeah, they're probably just going to have one more confrontation sa go-home show before Revolution. So, okay, there was backstage chatter. There was chatter that there was someone backstage at today's AEW Dynamite, like a top free agent, and I guess it was Buddy Matthews because hindi daw si Swerve. Swerve had already signed, but as we found out today on Dynamite, Buddy Matthews has debuted on AEW, and he's a part of the House of Black. And credit to the announcers for acknowledging the history ni Buddy Matthews with Malakai Black.
Yeah, it's about time. I don't think I would dispute the fact that he was like a big free agent signing. Say, let's be honest. I love Buddy Matthews. I'm a big fan of his, but he isn't, you know, what I would call a huge name. It's no knock on him. It's just the way he was treated by WWE. So it is what it is. And I know that Tony Khan likes to overhype these things, but well-deserved. And to people saying that AEW is just WWE 2.0, yes, in a way it's true, but also I would expect more from AEW with regards to giving these people a fair shake.
Pero ito na naman tayo with signing a lot more guys than they need to.
To be fair on that, to say, sorry, just address that real quick. Tony Khan has been releasing some of his earlier signings already, so he's been making space for that.
Which is what I was getting to, diba? Sana maybe Tony wants to sign more people than he needs to, but hopefully he lets a lot of these guys go and grow in other companies that actually might use them better or, you know, give them more of an opportunity.
Sinashare naman ni Tony Khan yung mga guys niya with NJPW of America and other companies. So I think they are okay when it comes to work abroad.
Yeah, we've been getting announcements din online on social media about yung contract status ng iba, diba? Like sina Leo Rush, there's chatter about Brian Cage. See, Angelico just posted something earlier na he'll be announcing his contract status or whatever tomorrow. So, I don't know, you know, these are a lot of people we haven't really seen on TV din naman in a very long time.
Yeah, baka sumali sila dun sa bagong promotion ni Freddie
Prinze Jr. CYN. We'll talk about that when the time comes. But I don't mind this because now they have proven to me that AEW knows how to make use of their big roster. I've been singing my praises about how they book for the past few months now. So okay to with me. I don't really mind them stalking on people. They have enough programming to go around, I think. So it's okay. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Freddie Prinze Jr. is linked to CYN. That's EC3, diba? Iba yung kay FPJ.
Did he say FPJ? Sorry, I thought he was talking about EC3.
Yes, I've seen Freddie Prinze Jr.
I said Freddie Prinze Jr. because there are rumors put on the line that he wanted to start his own thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was involved with WOW before AJ Lee got involved. So things didn't work out. And then that's where AJ Mendez came in. So there. That's going to do it for Dynamite Talk. Let's go to our TBT for this week. And sabi nga natin kanina, we're going to talk about The Undertaker. So let's keep it simple in the comment section. Let us know your favorite Undertaker moments because I think we have them. You know, he's been around for about as long as we've been fans, maybe even older. Like, he's been around WWE for as long as I've been alive. So I think we can all pull out a favorite Undertaker moment. Mine is Undertaker saying to JBL, "You, me, SummerSlam." And like for years, I would just quote that ad nauseum.
Yeah, that's my go-to moment then. Let's talk about some Undertaker stuff. My favorite Undertaker moment was versus Batista, siempre. Versus Edge as well, because that was Edge's, I believe, only WrestleMania main event.
Second year was last year.
Oh, yeah. Right. I forgot. Last year was a thing. So that was his first big WrestleMania main event. And it came against The Undertaker. So that was pretty cool as an Edge fan growing up.
One of my favorite Undertaker moments was the very first Hell in a Cell match against HBK. And then really all of Undertaker's Hell in a Cell matches. The ones against Mick Foley were pretty good. Binata ni si Mick Foley, and then Mick Foley almost died. I also like the matches he had as a member of the Ministry of Darkness. One of those batshit crazy stables in wrestling history. Yung lahat, literally lahat ng sinasabihin mo wrestler in the 90s kasama din sa Ministry of Darkness. And he was the leader of all that craziness. And I love it.
I love that the Undertaker's actually wrestled in the Philippines. Like, for those of us who were there at the SmackDown event at the Araneta Coliseum in 2006, we can say that we saw the Undertaker physically perform in front of us. Sino ba kalaban niya nun? Booker T, I think? If I remember correctly.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah, I don't remember. If one of you was there at that 2006 event, hindi ko maalala if he was here for the 09 event kasi yun yung blind spot ko as a wrestling fan. But, you know, watching The Undertaker live and hearing the music and seeing Araneta go dark and then the gong and the mist and all of that. I mean, sure, it wasn't like being in a WWE event in the States, pero naranasan ko yung Undertaker entrance. And I remember being a teenager in the crowd and just soaking it all in while trying to capture it on video.
Yeah, yeah. I like Biker Taker. So that was my exposure, my real first exposure to Undertaker. I mean, I knew of Undertaker before I actually started really closely watching wrestling. I say, who didn't know The Undertaker? About Dead Man.
I didn't get in front of Charlotte Starfish and Hot Dog Flavor
Oh, no, man.
Was rolling your jam.
No, but I knew of Limp Bizkit away. I didn't associate him with Undertaker because I didn't watch during the Attitude Era. So, Nico Alam, until much later, that Taker used Roland as a theme, diba? But I did know of The Undertaker like way before, like when I was first playing the games, because it was a really unique gimmick for me that this guy was a necromancer, was a dead man, was super mystic, and that was pretty cool to me as a kid. So that's what I assume got people into liking Undertaker as a character, and that's why he is such an enduring personality today. Even somebody mentioned kanina, even with non-wrestling fans, they know who The Undertaker is just because of the gimmick itself.
Yeah. I don't know. Can we call Undertaker like this generation's Hogan or something because of your effect? Yeah.
No, seriously. Yes. Because he is easily the first name that comes to mind when you ask people about wrestling, even casuals, even people who've only seen wrestling once. Diba? If you ask people from our generation, Larina, pretty sure the first name they'll think of is The Undertaker because that entrance alone is iconic. Diba? Yung papatay siya ng ilaw and he slowly walks to the ring. Pagbata ka, it'll stick in your mind kasi natatago ka din sa blankets mo, diba? Kasi natatakot ka din for The Undertaker. And as an adult, it just sticks with you. Even if wrestling itself doesn't, Undertaker is just that iconic.
I don't know if you guys ever experienced this, but I have friends who've come up to me and they found out that, you know, I was still watching wrestling and they'd be like, oh, boy, papa si Undertaker. And I'd be like, actually, yeah, he just had a match.
I mean,
I have to deal with that stuff. So, you know.
Yeah. Sorry. So let's go to the comments.
Yeah, let's go to the comments. See, Glendale also shout outs that Mankind match, Hell in a Cell. Roman J, favorite moment now was the black wedding of The Undertaker and Stephanie McMahon from the Ministry days. Yeah, that's some dark stuff. Roman J mentions Buckle Up Teddy. Yeah, that was also pretty freaky. See Admin Angelo, Buckle Up Teddy then, one of his favorite moments. Julian says Ministry Undertaker, that was the goat for him before the corporate ministry came along. Glendale, favorite Undertaker match, Taker versus Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 25. And then see Emil picks the end of an era match, Undertaker and Triple H at WrestleMania 28, first pay-per-view daw niya as a wrestling fan, and what was the first match that captivated him the most. So he'll never forget the super kick and pedigree tapos na kick out si Undertaker. Leo picks SummerSlam 98, Stone Cold versus The Undertaker, tsaka yung end of an era match and the end of the streak. See Lance favorite Taker moment was when he tried to kidnap Stephanie McMahon and went all necromancer mode and tried to marry her, and then he decided to burn her teddy bear in front of Vince McMahon because why not?
Pinakasal siya sa demonyo ng tatay niya.
Si Ricky, Taker versus Shawn Michaels. Sino pa ba? Eli, not a favorite moment, but I am in the hype of Taker's glory when I saw the Taker versus Kane vegetative state storyline, and that's an instant buzzkill for me. Julian mentions the whole Jeff Hardy match from 02 because he made a star out of Jeff Hardy, and the hand raise at the end was the icing on the cake. Ito di ko nabutan, but I've heard so many stories about this one.
It's on YouTube, dude. Like, the whole match is on YouTube.
Yeah, I remember watching it on TV, and we were... That's instantly the genesis of all the Jeff Hardy marks. There's still Jeff Hardy marks to this day.
I'm sure they love the Hardy Boys. But you should go watch that because it's a TV main event, so it's not that long. It's on YouTube because WWE puts up their classic matches for free on YouTube. So if you haven't seen it, go watch it because it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not like the best wrestled match ever, but it's really emotional because they really did make Jeff look like he was about to win the WWE Championship.
If you're being a Jeff Hardy fan, if you watch that, you might end up being a Jeff Hardy fan.
All right.
I wanted to talk about Biker Taker because that was my first exposure to The Undertaker as a real wrestling fan. Because I knew of him before as the Dark Wizard, right? Yeah. So it was so crazy to me that this person could change and become a random biker, diba? And for a long time, for years, I would try to this was before the WWE Network, but I would try to pinpoint the exact moment on when that happened, when that change happened. And parang di naman siya a thing that happened overnight, diba? Chino,
I don't think it was. I consider Biker Taker to be like the tamad na akong makeup years of everything.
Didn't he get injured in like 99 or something, and then he was gone for a while? Then when he came back in like 2000 or whenever it was, Biker Taker na siya.
So that was so crazy to me. Like that, I don't know if they ever explained na bakit siya naging biker.
Did they ever?
No, I don't think so. I think he just showed up one day and was like, I'm tired of wearing black.
That was such a messed up thing to me as a kid or as a teenager. Kasi alam mo na yun, may dissonance na eh. Kasi this guy, I knew this guy was a necromancer, was a zombie undead priest that had his own ministry, and then now you're telling me he's a biker. So that I guess is the peak of a Vince McMahonism that they failed to explain why this change happened.
To be fair, inexplain naman ni Undertaker nung Last Ride documentary series and in the Broken Skull sessions na that time he really wanted to change and he wanted to experiment with stuff. Kaya yun, that's how the American Badass came to be. But I'm with you, Ro, because when I was getting into Here Comes the Pain and I wanted to play as the Undertaker, I was also like, yo, what the hell? Bakit siya naging biker guy?
So yeah, but the thing is, they explained why they went back to him being the undead necromancer. Kasi they say na buried alive siya ni Vince McMahon sa Survivor Series 2003, and he died. that's what it all implies, that he died, and he came back as the undead. So that was.
Another favorite Taker moment for me was when there were two Undertakers. This was
Undertaker.
Yeah, so this was when Cornette tried to win the Undertaker over. Ayaw sumama ni Taker sa kanya. So what he did instead was he made his own Undertaker. Pwede pala yun, gagawa ka na ng random Undertaker ka na. Ikaw na yung bagong Undertaker. That's like so insane. That he can just come up with his own Undertaker. And why has nobody else ever thought of that? That faker Undertaker is actually crushed, by the way. So just a fun.
Right. Yes. I remember. Yes.
See, Bruce, he's shouting out that moment when the Undertaker used "Ain't No Grave" by Johnny Cash as his theme song. I didn't like it at the time, but ngayon parang okay na. I'm okay with it now because sobrang gunslinger Clint Eastwood na yung image ni Undertaker, diba? So parang okay, bagay yung Johnny Cash theme. So yeah, so many comments from everybody. Obviously, there's so much love here for the Undertaker. We can't get to them all because we're going to go extra overtime.
Can,
so
can I just say that I'm damaging like sabi na the childhood ended when they found out Taker and Kane weren't siblings. Feeling ko yung childhood na ni Rowan na tapos din. Kailangan na hindi sila pagkakain.
For me, sobrang ano, big moment yung natapos yung streak. When Brock ended the streak, I was at one of the very first viewing parties I ever attended here in the Philippines. It was organized by Early PWR in 2014. And I remember just being super shocked. Parang, what the hell? That happened? And then I had to go because I had a meeting for work. So na-miss ko yung moment ni Daniel Bryan at the very end. But, you know, like that moment stuck with me. I remember driving to my meeting in BGC thinking, puta na talo si Undertaker. Yun talaga iniisip ko the entire drive. So, yeah, that was a moment for me.
Yeah.
Sabi ni Eli, ain't no grave for the final run. I mean, you know, they used it when they used it for the end of an era storyline. And then after that, you know, I think we were okay with that. The normal theme song, You Rest in Peace. So there. Thank you to everybody who sent in your favorite Undertaker moments. Again, there's so many. We can't get to all of them, but we'll try naman for pick of the week. So if you don't have the time for all of your wrestling shows, here are some of our recommendations. See Rowan, the SHIT, he picks The Miz, introducing Logan Paul as his partner on Raw. For me, I'm going to pick Becky versus Lita at Elimination Chamber because remember, the last time Lita was in a singles match, not counting the Heath Slater match in 2012, it was against Mickie James, and the crowd really hated her, slut-shamed her. It was such a bad send-off. And I think that finally, Lita, with you know that very surprising pop from the Jeddah crowd, I think that's as fitting a send-off as any for a legend and a trailblazer like Lita. Totally deserves it. That match was fun to call as well. So Becky Lynch versus Lita for me in a pick of the week.
My pick of the week goes out to NXT and Braun Breaker. Oh, sorry, Tommaso Ciampa versus Dolph Ziggler. For all the reasons mentioned, gives Dolph a new edge. Gives NXT new life, et cetera, et cetera. Go watch it. It's good stuff.
All right. My pick of the week is from today's Dynamite, Bryan Danielson versus Daniel Garcia. I say that's my type of match. So if you want violence, sapahan, technical sapahan, go watch this match. It's only a fraction of what they can do. And I am looking forward to their longer match whenever that would be.
Mirror images set of each other. Right? Doesn't think Daniel Garcia remind you of a young Daniel Bryan.
Exactly.
Yeah. Para silang basic Pokemon si Daniel Garcia, tapos Kyle O'Reilly yung stage 1, tapos stage 2 si Bryan.
Yeah. Yep.
Picks of the week from the comment section for Julian, that MJF promo, Edge's Open Challenge, and Logan Paul. See Lance pick of the week, Dante Chen versus Duke Hudson. Leo picks the Women's Elimination Chamber match, and on Raw, Ciampa and Balor versus the Dirty Dogs. And then the MJF promo, Bruce picks Kairi returning to Stardom, and the Edge promo, and the Raw main event, and sino pa ba? See Glendale also picks Kairi and Sanada winning a singles title, and Bianca Belair hitting Doudrop at the KOD. Yeah, that was pretty impressive. Admin Angela also picks Becky versus Lita from Elimination Chamber, and Nikita Lyons and her in-ring debut on NXT 2.0. Roman J picks Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura on SmackDown for the Intercontinental Championship. Eli picks MJF's promo. Emil picks the Britney Spears outfit from Elimination Chamber that Liv Morgan pulled off. Admin Jackie putting over our audio-only episode with Kid Bandit, which you should check out, by the way. We dropped it a couple of days ago. It's a really fun interview with them, and I hope that you get a chance to check it out. Sino pa ba? Wilson picks Women's Chamber match. Glendale, Okada versus Naito from NJPW Golden Year Day 2. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And see, Uncle Alan picks the Kid Bandit episode.
See, Scumageddon picks Tanahashi versus Sanada for the IWGP US Championship. In a recent show, I don't remember what the show was, but yeah.
Yeah, Bruce, hindi namin interview si Kip Sabian. It would be nice, but it was Kid Bandit.
Might be nice.
Yeah. All right, so thank you to everybody who caught the live stream with us tonight. Chino, any plugs?
So for this week of the Class Clown podcast, I had the pleasure of talking to James Deacon, who is one of the more captivating, shall we say, personalities to come out of the COVID era. And I talked to him about his live streaming and how he deals with all the haters that he gets, and just literally anything you wanted to ask him, sinagot naman niya. He's such a gracious person. You can literally talk to him forever because he has so much insight about different things. And I hope you guys check it out. It's coming out tomorrow on all your favorite podcast aggregators. Also, the Evidence video is going up tomorrow as well. So if you want a video to accompany this voice and Evidence's voice, check it out on my YouTube. It's going to be up on my linktr.ee/GinoSuperSize.
All right, Ro, any plugs for you?
Yeah. I'm still writing for multisport.ph. So my latest article is about food anxiety. So if you are someone who is going through a diet or someone's going on a fitness journey and you're kind of worried about what you're eating and then that drives you to a point where you're paralyzed about your choices, I share tips on how to deal with that because I'm going through that as well. So again, multisport.ph, just look for my article there. My name is on the page, so you'll find it. And please follow us on TikTok at Wrestling2XPod. And yun, read Smart Henry.
And for me, go check out On Deck with Stancy. I've been releasing solo podcasts for this season. This week, I talked about insecurities and how when I was in radio, sobrang na-fuel yung insecurities ko and how I, you know, went on so many downward spirals mentally because of that. So if you want to check out how I dealt with all of that and how we still deal with that, go tune into On Deck with Stancy on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. But for this show, please follow the Wrestling Podcast at Wrestling2XPod, as Ro said, on Twitter and TikTok, at Wrestling Podcast on Facebook and on Instagram, and on Spotify, pag hindi pa, please follow us, give us a 5-star rating. We fixed the problem. Isa na lang yung feed natin on Spotify, so that should take care of everything. And individually, you can hit us up at GinoSupersized, at Rowiswar, at Monday Night Rowan, and at _StanC. Thank you very much to Babyface producer Gail and everybody behind the scenes at PNA for all of the work and the help that they do. As we strap in for WrestleMania season, please remember to keep those masks on, get your vaccines and your boosters if you can, when you can. And come May 2022, please go out and vote. At huwag po tayong boboto ng magnanakaw. All right? Wrestling Podcast out. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Huwag din tayong bumoto ng anak na hindi alam ko anong meaning ng DH. Yun lang.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.